والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, from time to time, as we are aware, together with relevant topics, we also speak on events and personalities of the past. And the intention is to be inspired by their lives, to be able to put it into practice. There is a reason why we speak about events of the past, not to have memories of the glory without putting it into practice, because that would be meaningless. It would have no meaning. The only reason we do so is that we benefit from the past and we speak about them so that we can put it into practice. Someone has very beautifully said that you cannot plan for the future but in the present. You cannot plan for the future but in the present. And you cannot benefit from the present but by looking at the past. You cannot plan for the future but now. You can't plan for the future in the future, then it would be a failure. And you cannot plan in the present but by looking at the past. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ إِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the incidents that we make mention of in the Quran, there are lessons for people who have intelligence. Now, the person that I would like to speak about today, although previously, whenever we have spoken, we have by and large spoken about the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And no doubt they are the beacons of hidayat, they are the greatest people whom we can draw inspiration from. However, today I would like to speak about a tabi'i. And very seldom we have done so. That someone who was after the time of the Sahaba. And perhaps there are very few people outside the Sahaba who have had such an impact upon human morality, upon human values, upon a ruler the way there was like this person. The person whom I am referring to, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh was a tremendous and a unique person. He was born in the 61st year after Hijri, making it just about 50 years after the death of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His father was a person who was in Egypt. He was the viceroy or the governor of one of the Umayyad Khalifas in Egypt. His mother was Umme Asim, and she was the granddaughter of the first Umar. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi is known as Umar the Second. His mother was the granddaughter of the first Umar, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And there's a very interesting incident which relates to his lineage. And I think we made mention of this incident. Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one day while going out to look at the state of the welfare of his citizens, overheard a conversation. The conversation was like the mother telling the daughter, add water to the milk, it will increase the volume of the milk, we will have more milk to sell, more profit to be made. The daughter said, how can we do so? We will be deceiving people. We would be selling milk that is diluted with water and people won't make out the difference. And don't you know, Umar the Khalifa has prohibited that people must deceive customers. So the mother said, why are you worried about Umar? Umar is not here to see us. So the daughter said, never mind Umar, The Lord of Umar is here to see us. Even if Umar is not here, Umar's Lord and Umar's Allah is here to see us. Umar overheard this conversation. He was so impressed by the piety and intelligence of this daughter that the next day he sent a proposal for this daughter for his son's marriage. His son was Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now it's from such parents that you have such great lineage. You see, when the parents are pious, then it impacts positively upon the children. Now that is why he proposed to this woman, and from this particular lineage and from this marriage and union, you know, came Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. And that is why it is said in one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, O people, when you are obedient to me, raditu, I become happy. Allah Ta'ala says, and when I become happy by your obedience, the effect of my happiness lasts for 7 generations. That if you are obedient, then the effect of your obedience will last for 7 generations. And when you are disobedient, the impact of that particular disobedience also lasts for 7 generations. That when you are obedient, there is barakah in your next 7 generations. And when you are disobedient, the barakah that would have come upon your children, if you would have been obedient, they would lose out upon that and there will be no barakah in your next 7 generations. So from this union came Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. Umar Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi's father passed away at the age of 20. And thereafter his uncle Abdul Malik bin Marwan, who was the Khalifa of the time, he called him and he told him to get married to his daughter, Fatima. So Fatima was his cousin, and it was also the daughter of the Khalifa of the time, who the Khalifa bin Abdul Malik bin Marwan. Now after Abdul Malik, after he got married, after a few years, Abdul Malik bin Marwan passed away. And his son Walid became the Khalifa. Keep in mind that was a time of the Umayyads where kingship and rulership was hereditary, the monarchy system, where after the father died, the son became the king, and after he died, then his son became the king. So in this particular way, Abdul Malik bin Marwan died. His son Walid became the Khalifa. After Walid, his son Sulaiman became the Khalifa. When Sulaiman became ill, Sulaiman realized that he did not have any young children. He did not have any grown-up children. So he even lamented the fact on his deathbed, fortunate are those who have grown-up children when they die. Fortunate are those who have grown-up children when they died. So not knowing who to appoint as a Khalifa, various ashab and companions, they told him that, why don't you appoint your brother-in-law? Why don't you appoint your brother-in-law, your sister's husband, Umar bin Abdul Aziz? And especially there was one person by the name of Hawa bin Raj'i, who told Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik that, why don't you become the one who will appoint someone and inshallah he will bring khair and he will become good. His name was Raja bin Haywa. Why don't you appoint him? So Sulaiman appointed Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi as a Khalifa. Now just before he became the Khalifa, let me make mention, in the time of Walid, he was appointed as the governor of Medina. So before his appointment as a Khalifa, he was the governor of Medina for some time. Now there are 2 reports about Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi's life before assuming Khilafat. There are 2 reports which speaks about how he was before he was a Khalifa, when he was the governor of Medina. 1 report suggests that he was also given to extravagant ways. He was also extravagant. He was also given to the luxurious way of life, which was the 40 of the ruling class of the time. And the remarkable change that came upon him after Khilafat. Like for example, it is said that when he was made the governor of Medina, he came to Medina with luggage that was put on 30 camels. You know, talk about overweight when you go and travel nowadays in airplanes. He said that he had 30 camels that brought his luggage to Medina Sharif. He had a tailor. The tailor says that before assuming Khilafat, I used to make a kurta of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the cloth of which used to be 400 dirhams. 400 silver coins to make one kurta. And even with 400 dirhams, that one kurta, he used to say that it is not fine enough. It is not good enough. Get me a better kurta. Get me a better cloth. He said, after he became the Khalifa, then I used to make him a kurta with cloth that used to count and used to cost 14 dirhams. Where is 400 dirhams and where is 14 dirhams? And that 14 dirhams, he used to say, it is too extravagant. After he became the Khalifa. Now just keep this in mind as we go along. It is also made mention that, you know, he had this particular situation. And one incident that had a very great impact upon Umar bin Abdul Aziz was Hubayb bin Abdullah bin Zubair, the son of a very, very prominent Khalifa. I mean, very prominent Sahabi. You know, when he was making the extension, they were making the extension of the Masjid al-Nabawi. So Hubayb came to him and said, "Oh Umar, don't touch the private quarters of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The house where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived, don't touch that in the extension." So because he criticized Walid and the Khalifa of the time, Walid told his governor in Medina, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, punish Hubayb. So what he punished Hubayb with 40 lashes, and he douched him in cold water in winter. And Hubayb passed away because of that particular punishment. And Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, later on in his life, he used to cry tears. And he says, who's going to help me against Hubayb on the day of Qiyamah? That I unjustly punished him, which led to his death. Who is going to answer on my behalf against Hubayb on the day of Qiyamah? So this was his, as he was a governor. There's other report that also suggests that while he was given to these extravagant ways, there is no doubt that he was also endowed with unique character and piety. Of specific mention, of specific reference is made that he was very close to the ulama of the time. Like for example, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, the famous Sahabi, came to Medina when he was the governor and he led Salat. And Anas bin Malik said, I never saw anyone's namaz in the time that we are living in that resembled the namaz of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, resembled the salat of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi salat resembles that of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi rahimahullah, however, writes a very amazing thing. He said, except for his integrity, his character, there was nothing to suggest in his life that he was destined to become a remarkable human being, the first reviver in the Islamic history. There was nothing to suggest that in his life. But you see, there's an amazing aspect that we always got to keep in mind. Many a times the potential of a person needs a moment of truth to bloom. Many a times the potential of a person needs a moment of truth to bloom. And keep in mind, responsibility and authority. Now, each and every one, we have some sort of responsibility and authority. Sometimes we are parents, sometimes we are bosses, sometimes we are employers. Responsibility and authority, brothers, can bring out the best and the worst in a human being. Responsibility and authority sometimes brings out the best, sometimes it brings out the worst in a human being. Therefore, we should always be careful with responsibility and authority. That, oh Allah, make it be good for me. So responsibility and authority can bring out the best in human beings and it can bring out the worst in human beings. In the time of, in the place of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, it brought out the best in him. Subhanallah, how he brought out the best in him. It is amazing. Now they say power corrupts. Let me become a little bit of a philosopher today. They say, you know, they say power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But wallah, my dear respect brothers, just as power corrupts, weakness also corrupts. That is why in our hadith, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned people about wealth, he also warned people about poverty. He said, I don't fear poverty as much as I fear wealth for this ummah. Because wealth will become freely available for this ummah. And they will be destroyed the way the people of the previous ummahs were destroyed when they had excessive wealth. Then he also said, "Kad al fakru ay yakuna kufra," that many a times he said, poverty leads to kufr. Now today, much of our much of our fitna in today's time, jealousy, pettiness, lack of tolerance, disagreements, arguments, wallahi lazim, it is because of our weakness. When the Muslim ummah was strong, it had tolerance. When the Muslim ummah is weak, it has got no tolerance. And this is something that you can bear out from the history of Islam. Nevertheless, Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi becomes the Khalifa. When he is chosen, the people bring him upon the pulpit forcibly, reluctantly. He wasn't prepared to come. They put him upon their shoulders and they bring him upon the minbar. He speaks to the people and said, "Oh people, I have come here without my permission, without me wanting it. I don't want to become the Khalifa. You take it away from you. One of you become the Khalifa." They all insist that you must become the Khalifa. Raja bin Haywa, the one who proposed his name, said, "I was reluctant that while I have proposed his name, will he become a good Khalifa?" You know, he said, "My fears were put to rest when the first letter he wrote to the provincial governors. He wrote to them, 'Anyone who is unjust, I'm going to remove him.'" You know, this is remarkable. This, perhaps, despite its shortness, he was only a Khalifa for 2 years and 5 months. It's hard to imagine the impact of his rule in Islamic history. Umar's rule became the yardstick against which all future rulers were to be measured. And unfortunately, we've got to say all of them failed against that particular yardstick. Among the things that were remarkable, the first thing he did, all governors who were unjust, he removed them. The second thing he did, he told his wife Fatima. Now, his wife Fatima was also a very amazing woman. I heard from Marana Ubaidullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali that he said, in our history, there is only one woman, in Islamic history, there is only one woman whose husband was a ruler, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, her father was a ruler, and her four brothers were rulers. This was Fatima. He said, in our history, there is only one woman, husband ruler, father ruler, four brothers rulers. She said that when he became the Khalifa, he said, he told her, "All this jewelry and valuables you got, your father and brothers might have been given you when they were Khalifas, but it came from the Baytul Mal. Either you return it, or either you go out of my nikah." She said, "No, I will return it." So she returned everything back to the Baytul Mal. It is said that such was his simplicity. Mu'abul Hasan Nadwi rahimahullah said his simplicity was something that even monks could not achieve. Even monks could not achieve, never mind the rulers of the time. Such was his simplicity that he did not allow any luxury even in his own house while he was a Khalifa. One day he noticed his daughters, while eating, they were covering their mouths. So he said, "Oh, my daughters, why are you covering your mouths?" They said, "Today, there was nothing but onions in the house, and therefore we ate onions, and it's emitting a particular type of foul smell." So he said, "Oh, my daughters, I could also have given you a sumptuous meal, but I don't want Jahannam for myself. I don't want, by giving you an extravagant way of life and taking advantage of my khilafat, give you extravagance, and thereafter I will be consigned to Jahannam." The woman of the time understood that. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi used to say that the woman of that time, in the pious era, when they used to send their husbands to work, they used to say that, "Listen, bring risk, but don't bring haram. Bring risk, don't bring haram into our house. We can bear hunger, we can't bear the fire of Jahannam. Bring risk, but bring halal risk. If you don't get halal risk, don't bring it. We can bear hunger, but we can't bear haram. And when we eat haram, it brings the fire of Jahannam." Is there such households like that in today's time? Anyway, I'm going to make mention, and time has already elapsed. Maybe we might have to leave, especially some of the reformation of Umar. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was the first person who compiled the ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the first reviver in Islam. Many things with regard to his khilafat, inshallah, we will make mention. But I think, together with his khilafat, let me just end off with one incident of his piety, his fear of Allah. Two weeks ago, we spoke about the love of Allah. And no doubt, no whatsoever, that is also supposed to be in our life, that we are supposed to love Allah. But our love of Allah must always be balanced with the fear of Allah's greatness. Al-Imanu Bainal, Yazid bin Haushab, is one of the contemporaries of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He used to say, Umar bin Abdul Aziz used to fear Allah so much, it seemed that Jannat and Jahannam was only created for him. He used to fear Jannat, he used to desire Jannat so much and fear Jahannam so much, it seemed that Jannat and Jahannam were only created for him. His wife Fatima says that sometimes during the night, Umar used to fear Allah and he used to twitch. And he used to twitch like a bird. He used to twitch in his bed like a bird out of the fear of Allah. And the family used to worry whether he will make it alive till the time of Fajr. That used to be his fear of Allah. So this was a remarkable human being. And these are some of aspects of his life that we have made mention of today. Inshallah, if Allah gives us the ability, in the future also we will speak about other aspects of his life. May Allah make us follow such great people in all aspects of their life and bring it into our life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.